and had a wonderful time. Also, the youth from the Shawnee Bible Church joined us. And I had a chance to talk with Brandon a little bit. And I thought this, I asked him how Pastor Darrell was doing. And he said he's not been strong enough to get chemotherapy. So this month he took off from having chemotherapy. Might be able to continue that next month. But last Sunday, he preached at their church for the first time in 2 months. And he spoke on "In Everything Give Thanks." I thought about that. You know, it's easy to give thanks when everything goes our way. But as you're battling, like he is, cancer, "In Everything Give Thanks" is a good reminder to all of us. No matter what we're facing in our lives, we need to also continue to pray for Mike Jarrett. He is now in hospice house. And so we need to lift him up in our prayers. So did everybody receive this? If you did not receive one of these, raise your hand and we'll be sure to get you one. We're continuing our study of spiritual warfare and overcoming. Part 4, stand firm with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The gospel is good news. We had, Robert and I had the opportunity to, Dio Shudong Sphirno on Friday and to share the good news of the gospel with family and friends that were there. The gospel of peace. Let's bow in prayer as we begin this morning. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here today, for those who, whatever the need may be, Lord, I pray that you would meet their needs. In everything, give thanks, as reminded by Pastor Darrell. I pray you'd be with him and his family. I pray for Mike and his family at this time. And others who are among us who are weak or in infirmities, we pray your hand be upon them. Lord, anoint our ears, our hearts to hear your word. Anoint your servant to give the words you would have to be spoken. And Lord, we pray that your spirit would move and speak to us this morning. And Lord, we give you thanks. We praise your name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are some questions for us to consider. We've been looking at 8 strategies in spiritual warfare. We're all involved in the spiritual warfare, and God gives us 8 strategies here in Ephesians chapter 6. The first strategy for overcoming is overcoming weakness with strength. Not our strength, but God's strength. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And then strategy 2 we looked at. For overcoming is overcoming falsehood with truth. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And then strategy number 3 for overcoming is overcoming evil with good. To put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we looked at that the last time. So we come here today. The key question, what is our 4th strategy for overcoming? And our verse here, stand firm with your feet fitted for the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The key idea here is overcoming anxiety with peace. One of the ways that Christ sustains us in this world is through the gift of peace that He gives us. And so as we look at the armor of God, each piece is important. Each piece needs to be put on every day. And so today as we consider this, overcoming anxiety with peace. Holidays is should be a joyous time with family and friends, but oftentimes during the holidays we have many anxieties and we're anxious about many things. First of all, what is peace? It's more than the absence of war and conflicts and quarrels and disagreements, worries and fears. It's more than that. It's a presence of calmness, of contentment. The presence of Christ is what we find peace. Now here it tells us speaks of the shoes of peace. I don't know if you call your shoes and you put them on, you hear my shoes of peace. Think about that as we look at that today. You know, the open-toed leather boots worn by the Roman soldiers, they were made with nail-studded soles and designed to grip the ground. So they resembled our modern cleated football shoes. If you were to look at those, they were not made for running or marching. They were designed for one primary purpose: to give the soldier stability and hand-to-hand combat against the enemy. So, in hand-to-hand combat, the first to accidentally lose his footing would be the first to fall. So as you look at these shoes that we're to put on, they look like this. So not we're to stand and not to lose our footing, especially this hand-to-hand combat where we need to be strong and to stand. Now, when we think of the shoes of peace, we're going to look at both shoes of peace today. I want you to consider this. First of all, what is peace with God? Life apart from Christ has no deep peace. But when we come to Jesus Christ and put our trust in Him, the Bible says this about us. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. Because of our sin, we are separated from God. And we can be reconciled with God. We can have peace with God. That's speaking here of our salvation. And that's the first shoe of peace that we need to put on. That we have that salvation. That we have peace with God. And so the peace that Jesus is giving to us here is a peace that was purchased at the price of His own blood. It was a costly salvation. We know that in Christ there is no condemnation. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. Romans 8:1. And the God of all peace is with you and for you. And so 1 Peter reminds us of this. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So we need to have peace with God. Peace in your heart that you know your sins are forgiven. Peace in your heart that you know that you're going to heaven. Peace in your heart that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the first shoe of peace you put on. I don't know if you put your shoes on, do you open the right foot first or the left foot first? I don't know which one you put on first. But the first shoe we need to put on is our salvation, the gospel of peace with God. And so we are also ready then through the gospel of peace. And we're ready not only to put that on, but we're ready to share that gospel of peace, whatever opportunity we might have. Our son Tim had an opportunity to go to a breakfast, and they had a lot of homeless people there at the breakfast. And one of the homeless men there, Tim had a chance to talk with him and share with him the gospel, and he wanted to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior, the shoe of peace with God. And then the next part of this, the other shoe that we need to put on, is the peace of God. Peace with God is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The peace of God He gives us as we walk with Him. That peace. The peace of God. John 14, verse 27. This is what Jesus said to His disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And then he goes on to say, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples when he knew that in a matter of hours their lives would be shattered through his own suffering and death. In a matter of a few hours, he would be crucified on the cross. They would be scattered. And their hopes would be shattered. And yet he told them that they could have peace in the midst of trauma like this. An inward peace that brings confidence and stability. It's a peace that we can have despite the external or outward circumstances. A peace that cannot be destroyed. And that's what the peace of God is about. And so we read these words in Philippians 4:7. It tells us, and the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the first shoe we put on is peace with God. We have our relationship with God. We accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then the second shoe we put on is the peace of God that rules our hearts and our minds, no matter what our circumstances might be. So the Pastor Darrell, facing a very serious situation with his cancer and everything, could give thanks. There's a story told of Eric Barker. Eric was a Christian missionary from England to Portugal. He just received words that all his family, his wife and 8 children, his sister and her 3 children, their ship had been torpedoed by the German U-boat. He got word of this during the middle of the service. And so he announced that they were safely home. But he did not mean safely in England, their home. But they were safely home with the Lord. Can imagine that, losing all your family like that as the ship sank, as you got word of that. So when we have peace with God, we also have the peace of God in our lives. These two shoes, peace with God and peace of God. And we can hold our ground and overcome any attack by our enemy. So our faith are like those cleated shoes, will hold firm and not allow us to slip or fall. Our Lord desires this twofold peace for each of us. They are like the two shoes of peace. And so every day we put on those shoes of peace. We remind ourselves that we have a peace with God. We have a relationship with God. We have salvation. And so we're ready to share that. No matter what our circumstances, we also have the peace of God. Now there are several applications to this. And I think it's important for us to consider the applications. What are God's steps for peace? How can we apply that peace to our lives? And there are several steps here. The first step is prayers. How are you praying? And so we read the words here, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And everything, take it to God in prayer. And so, as we look at this, I want you to think about this. The word anxious here literally means to be pulled in 2 different directions. It means to have a war, a battle going on in your inner spirit that's pulling you apart inside. Anxious. We have anxious thoughts pulling us in different directions. Now, it's interesting. We think about that. Here's some words for us to consider. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. You know, we worry often about the little things too, as well as the big things. But if it's something that you're worried about, it's also something that you can pray about. Martin Luther said this, pray and let God worry. Mark Batterson said this, think of worry as a prayer alarm. Every time it goes off, you put it to prayer. Every time that alarm sounds, you begin to worry about whatever it might be, a small thing or a big thing. That's an alarm to remind you to pray. Now that hymn I remember growing up. I thank Grace and Michael for finding that little chorus. Why worry when you can pray? Worry, worry, worry. Why worry when you can pray? And that's a good reminder to us. Unfortunately, we often twist the words around. In our lives, it's not why worry when you can pray. Why pray when you can worry is often our song. You know, why pray when you can worry? Now, think about this. I saw these words here in this good reminder here. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. You know, this little conversation you have in yourself is, you cannot change it, but you worry about it. But prayer is a conversation you have with God about things He can change. So, you're going to have that conversation. Don't have it with yourself about things you cannot change, but have that conversation with God in prayer about what He can change. Now, this reminds us then the kind of prayers that we should pray. First of all, a prayer should be a progressive prayer. This is a good reminder to us. You maybe have heard of this before. ACTS, Acts of Prayer. A standing for adoration. It reminds us that many times we rush into prayer, praying for those things that we are thinking about first, instead of adoring and worshiping God first. Adoration is worship for God, to God for who He is, and recognize His greatness. We've been studying the names of God on Wednesday night, the names of Jesus. And so before we go to prayer about all the things that we are concerned about, we stop and praise God as we think about those names of God. And C stands for confession. It's to tell your sins to God, repent and turn away from them, and ask sincerely for His forgiveness. It may even be in too anxious. Confessing our anxieties to God. And then T is for thanksgiving. Is to express your gratitude to God and thank Him for His love, mercy, and blessings. Now, Thanksgiving is not just one day of the year. It's good we have that day, so we remember to do that, but Thanksgiving should be every day of the year. And then S stands for supplication. It's to humbly ask God for what you need. Be specific, trusting Him to take care of your problems. And then close your prayer in peace. As you turn it over to God, trusting Him, have peace in your heart. Many times we take it to God in prayer and we don't leave it there, but we then take it back on our shoulders and bear that burden with us. But we ought to have peace and close our prayer in peace. And then prayer ought also to be proactive. It means this. It is learning to pray in advance of the hardship, asking for strength to face challenges before they hit us. Prayer shouldn't be your last resort, it should be your first resort. Many times situation happens, we do this, we do that, whatever, we call and talk to somebody, try to get this counsel, get this help. And prayer should be our first result, not our last result. So, remember this. The first step is prayer. Prayers. How are you praying? And then the second step He gives us here are our thoughts. Thoughts. What are you thinking? And so right after Philippians 4:7, we have Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, think about this. You can be the air traffic controller of your mental airport. You know, the air traffic controller controls which planes come in and which land and which take off. And so our thoughts circle above, coming and going. If one of them lands, it's because you gave it permission to land. If it leaves, it's because you directed it to do so. You can select your thought pattern. Think about what you're thinking about. You know, this is a good analogy. You are the air traffic controller of your thoughts. What lands, what takes off. So we need to think about that. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So, that song, that chorus remind us, don't be a doubting Thomas when those doubts would kind of circle over us and try to land. Air traffic controller says, no, you have no permission to land. You go find somewhere else to land, but not here. You're not landing here. All right? Think about that. You have anxious thoughts that are flying over you and trying to land. You have no permission to land here. You go somewhere else and land there, but you do not land here. And so we have our thoughts. And so we are the air, think about this. You are the air traffic controller. And then the third thing, the third step, mentors. Who are you following? So Philippians 4, 7, then 8, and then now verse 9. Paul wrote these words, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's that expression again, the God of peace. So we need to have good mentors. Who are your mentors? Here, Paul was a mentor to Timothy. Paul was a mentor to others. Whatever you've learned, received, or heard from me, from Paul, and seen in me, put it into practice. And then the God of peace will be with you. Let God's peace in their lives influence the anxiety in yours. Now, many times, we may be faced a situation we never faced before. For years, we had Cher and I had a grief share group. And we'd never thought of having a grief share group until we faced the death of two of our grandchildren and a son and our parents. And after going through that in a short amount of time, about a year span, going through all those different deaths and grieving over that and not understanding what that meant, friends invite us to go to a grief share. And they were our mentors to help us get through that grief process. And then later we were able to share and be mentors to others. So when you go through something that's difficult, go to mentors. Find a mentor who's gone through that situation. And you can get some help there from a godly mentor. Now, think about this. Great mentors don't tell you what to do. They show you how it's done. Great mentors don't just say, well, this is what you should do, but they show you how it's done. They're an example to you. And this is what we need to have. We need to be mentors to others and find mentors. Every one of us need to have a Paul in our life. Every one of us need to have a Timothy in our life. So, first of all, prayers. And then we see the second step where our thoughts, our thought life. And then mentors, who are we following? And then number four, the fourth step here, our places. Now think about this. Where are you living? Places. Now we turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus spoke about our anxious thoughts in Matthew chapter 6. We see these words here. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Life doesn't make sense sometimes. And we can have peace because we know God is with us and He loves us. Even if we don't understand all that's going on, we can trust God. Trust God one day at a time. Remember, the past is closed for good. You can't open that door again. That past is closed. The future is still under construction. But today has everything you need. Today. Where are you living? Are you living in the past? Are you living in the future? Or what's going to happen? Worrying about the past, worrying about the future, or are you living today? Taking a day at a time, by God's grace, where are you living? Maybe you've seen this prayer before, the Serenity Prayer. But I think it gives us some things to think about here. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There's some things you cannot change. It's in the past. There are things that you can change, the present, or maybe in the future. And we need to have the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that You will make all things right if I surrender to Your will, God, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with You forever in the next. So, serenity, having the peace and calm of accepting, contentment, being able to accept things by God's grace. But the key application are the times. When will you find peace? 2 Thessalonians is a good reminder here. Now may the Lord of peace, we talk about the God of peace, the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. When will you find the peace of God? When will you make the how, the what, the who, the where of His peace your priorities? Look at how you are praying. What are you thinking? Who are you following? Where are you living? And when you embrace these steps, then let our Lord fill your heart with His peace. So think about all these steps to having the peace of God. I think of this prayer. I pray that the God of love and peace that surpasses all understanding will fill your heart and mind today. That God will give you peace today to fill your heart and mind. I don't know if you remember this photo. It's called the Napalm Girl from Vietnam World War. This girl's name was Kim Phan. I'm not sure I can pronounce her entire name, but Kim, this is a very famous picture. And this picture, as a 9-year-old girl, you see her there in the middle. It's a painful picture to see, a naked 9-year-old girl running down a dirty street, arms flapping, face twisted in horror, and other children running with her. And behind them is the clouds of napalm, which was used as to burn, coming toward them and burning their skin. She was caught in that bombing. And the photographer who took this very famous photo, Nick, put down his camera and quickly transported her to a hospital, saving her life, even though she had severe burns over her back. He saved her life. Now, tell you the rest of her story here, and this is her picture today. Tell you the rest of her story. She endured decades of physical suffering. For many years, she prayed to the gods of her village there in Vietnam, called the Cao Dai, and her family's traditional religion for healing, but no answers came. Kim's dream was to become a doctor, and she actually began studies in that field of becoming a doctor. But the world, know her in a different way, and her government forced her, the Vietnamese government forced her to leave school to be available to speak and tour around the world because of her famous picture. She became a spokesman for the government. Devastated and desperate, seeking answers, she went to Saigon Central Library and started pulling the Vietnamese books of religion off the shelves one by one, and the stack confronted her. In front of her contained a New Testament. After thumbing through several books, she opened the New Testament, and she began to read in the Gospels. She was gripped by the sufferings of Christ as He bore our sins on the cross. Shortly afterward, on Christmas Eve, 1982, Kim gave her life to Christ at a worship service. The message that day was about the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. So many times at this Christmas time, there are messages about the Prince of Peace. And so Kim came to know the peace with God through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. She wrote these words. Kim wrote, "How desperately I needed peace. How readily I was for love and joy. I had so much hatred in my heart. So much bitterness. I wanted to let go of all my pain. I wanted to pursue life instead of holding fast to the fantasies of death. I wanted this Jesus." So when the pastor finished speaking, I stood up. I stepped out into the aisle and I made my way to the front of the sanctuary and I said yes to Jesus Christ. And so when I woke up that Christmas morning, I experienced the kind of healing that can only come from God. I was finally at peace. And so today, Kim's life purpose is to heal others through the love and peace of Christ. The peace of God and the peace with God changed Kim's life. And so every day, we need to put on the gospel of peace, these shoes. The peace of God and the peace with God. Every day, put on those shoes as you go out, that you might stand and not fall. Let's bow in prayer together. Lord, you know each of our hearts today. You know our anxious thoughts. You know what's going on in each of our lives. Father, I pray that we find you are the Prince of Peace. And through Jesus Christ, we can have peace with God. And through Jesus Christ, we can also have the peace of God as we take those steps of praying and our thoughts and having mentors around us who can help us. And Father, we also consider this, that we're living today, moment by moment, that we can find that peace in all times. Lord, I pray for each person here might experience the peace with God and peace of God. I pray for our neighbors and our friends and our family members, that they also might experience that peace. Father, we thank You that You give to us, through Jesus Christ, peace with God and peace of God. We praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.